Hey, I got. We have some special, very special guests here. Some old friends of mine. That doesn't mean they're old. They're just friends that I've known a while. Not like me. Stefan and Mariana Barenza. They come from the great city of Groningen. That's way away. You can't get much more north as we can't get much more south. That's where they're from. And he is the director of Teen Challenge up there. How many have ever heard of Teen Challenge? Some of you? Okay, it's a great program. I hate to use the word program, but it's a great way for people to really beat their addictions in the power of Jesus. And he's going to come and share that. So why don't you come on up?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow. Okay. Are you guys awake or what?
Yes.
Okay. Are you glad to be alive this morning?
Yes.
Is it this morning? Did it turn noon already? Or is it just not? Are you? But are you alive to be? Are you glad to be alive today? All right. Okay. But the excitement, I can tell, is still a little reserved. And that's okay because you're in the Netherlands. And in the Netherlands, we are a little reserved, except when we go to carnival and when we go to soccer games. But it's great to be here with you this morning. And I love international churches. In fact, I'm international myself. I'm everywhere I go, I'm a foreigner. And my parents are Dutch, but I was born in Germany, lived there for 10 years, then moved back to the Netherlands and went to college in the States. So I'm in a constant state of culture shock everywhere I go. But that's okay, because you learn to love it and you learn to ride with that, and it's kind of cool. And I'm just excited because the only place and the only, well, it's not really a place, but place to be where so many people from so many different backgrounds and cultures and skin colors and all those things can be together is the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
The kingdom of God just brings people together, and it doesn't matter what your background is, where you're from, what nationality you are from, whatever you have experienced. You know, it's just great that in the kingdom of God people are brought together, and that's exciting. And you know, I looked at this river, and I was just really amazed by this river. And you know, you can look at this river for a long time, but it won't run dry. And I really believe that God's love and what the Bible says about God's love and grace, like that river, it will never run dry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to talk to you about the heart this morning. But before I do that, I just want to share briefly a little bit about the ministry of Teen Challenge. I didn't see how many people heard about Teen Challenge before. Can you just raise it? Okay, not a lot of people, but have you heard of David Wilkerson, maybe? David Wilkerson? Not also? The Cross and the Switchblade, maybe that book? Okay, somewhere. Okay, not. So it is important to share a little bit about Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is kind of a program, but it's a tool from the kingdom of God to reach people that are hopeless, people that are in addiction, people of the streets, and it's a very important ministry. It was birthed in New York City by a country preacher. God called him to go to New York City. He didn't relate to any of what he saw there. He was a white, middle-class American, and he moved to New York to reach out to the poorest of poor, to the addicts, to the gangs of the streets. And he did that in obedience. He didn't have anything to relate with them in the natural, but God sent him there to share God's love. And that's exactly what we're doing today with Teen Challenge. And God is changing lives through the ministry of Teen Challenge. And let's start off in prayer. And as I said, I still think in German and Dutch, and last time I spoke in English was a very, very long time ago. So I hope you can understand what I'm saying this morning. And let's pray for not only me to speak, but my desire is that the Holy Spirit, that God would speak, and that He would touch our lives this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence in our lives. Thank you so much that you're here with us. And Father, thank you for speaking this morning. And I just want to surrender this frail way of speaking, this weakness, Father, and I just want to surrender that to you, and I just pray that you would just move by your Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you, Father, what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. And I want to speak to you about, I had to come up with a sermon title. I usually don't have sermon titles, but the sermon title this morning is Fresh Bread and Stale Hearts. You know, I work with drug addicts, and I hear some pretty terrible things. You know, we just last week admitted somebody in our program who had overdosed. He was a Christian, and he was clean for years. I don't know how many years, but he was clean. He was going to church, but he relapsed, and he used the same dosage that he used to use years ago, so he OD'd right away. He overdosed. And his wife called us, and she was afraid. They were in the hospital trying to help him, and he came, and I was so touched, and I was so broken over this this situation, and I realized what makes a heart grow cold or hard, or what makes it become soft again. And you know, sometimes even when you work with people that are in need, your heart can get hard. Your heart can get hard. And it's so important that we come to moments where God is able to shape us again and to mold us again into a place to see to see things from His perspective. And this is exactly what's happening here in Mark. We see that Jesus is sending out His disciples, and He gives them authority. He says, go and preach the gospel, and go and preach and also heal the sick and cast out the demons. And He sends them out with authority. And they go out through the different towns and meet the different people. And they're so excited what God does. And when they come back, they just want to report to Jesus. And they're excited, and they just share. And so Jesus is here at this point, and the disciples are coming back. And let's read from there on. It's in verse 30. Let's read. The apostles gathered around and reported to Him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I think that's a real important principle here, right here. You know, you can get really busy even in ministry and life. In just getting stuck in life, and Jesus calls. I believe that's what's happening today. Jesus calls us to a place, a quiet place with Him. And the question this morning is like, when was the last time that you had that quiet moment with Jesus? When were you in a quiet place with Him? And He's calling you because He's longing. You know, He's excited about all the things that are happening in your life, and if you're living for Him and doing all these things, and He wants to hear from you. And we see some here even with the disciples. See, it was so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. And sometimes life gets like that, especially in a hectic and chaotic life as in the Western world. We can get so caught up with all kinds of things, even good things. But Jesus is calling His disciples, His apostles, to come to a place of rest, a place where He can fellowship with them. Let's continue reading. 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. You have to imagine this for a little bit. They're in the north of Israel at a place at the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, or Gennesaret, it's a harp-shaped lake, a sea in the north of Israel. And what they're doing is they want to cross the lake. And so they get into the boat, cross the lake, and see what happens when they do that. But many, in verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So just imagine this, okay? There's such a hunger and such a need in this crowd that the people, they see Jesus leave and His disciples leave, and He crosses the lake, and the people ran around the lake, they ran, and they get there before the boat gets there. Just imagine that for a moment, how wild that is. The people are so hungry, so they want to be with Jesus. And they get there before Jesus gets there. So let's continue reading. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. Okay, I just want to pause here once again. So I hope you have this in your mind's eye that Jesus is over there and the disciples, they're excited. You know, we're going to a place just to be with Jesus, and he's going to spend time with us in quality time. But when they land, they see this massive crowd of people, and Jesus had compassion with them. Well, the word compassion, I believe the Dutch translation really catches it a little bit better. The Dutch translation says innerlijk ontfermd met bewogenheid. It means like an inner, and this goes back to the Greek text here as well, and it's an inner moving of the inside of compassion, just like your guts are turned by compassion for what is happening. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a compassion like that when you see somebody and you're like, oh my goodness, that's horrible what's happening. And your guts are turned for compassion because of the need that is seen. I don't know if you ever experienced something like that, but Jesus looked into the lostness of these people. And you know, I was a city person. I moved from Amsterdam. Actually, I'm not in the city of Groningen. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Groningen, in Veluwezen, in a town that nobody knows. It's the middle of nowhere and a little bit further. But God called us to be there, and it was, we are in a rural area. I used to live in downtown Amsterdam, and now we live in the farm. And we have sheep and chickens and all those things. But when you look at sheep, they're really, really, a little bit stupid animals. Hey, another sound effect. They're working it out. That's okay. Praise God, it works now. Hallelujah. But the sheep are really, we have a shepherd even. It's unbelievable. For me, chicken and eggs and stuff like that come from the supermarkets, you know. I was amazed looking at a chicken and an egg comes out every day like that. I was just amazed. The chicken is this big and the egg is this big. And every day it produces an egg. I was amazed. I stared 10 minutes at the chickens, you know. I was just really amazed how those things happen, you know. But also sheep, we have sheep and we have an electric fence. And one time I turned off the electric fence to get in because, you know, you don't want to get shocked. And that happened before, but I, you know, learned and didn't want to get shocked this time. So I turned off the electric fence to show and to go to the sheep and they, you know, and it was fun. But I forgot to turn it back on again. And so the shepherd guy working at our program also, he wasn't very happy with me because the sheep got tangled up in the fence. One was in the ditch and the other one was all over the place. But you know, that's what they do. Sheep just get lost. They need a shepherd. They need somebody to guide them. And it's such a picture here that is, we think, the sheep, great example. But Jesus is using something here that really brings it home because these sheep are completely lost without a shepherd. And Jesus looks at this crowd and he sees these people completely lost, being in the ditch, stuck in the fence somewhere, and just completely lost without a shepherd. And he has compassion on them. And he's teaching them. And the disciples, I can just picture this, they're like, oh, great, I thought we were just going to have some time with Jesus, some quality time. And we came all the way out here into the wilderness, and now he's teaching the crowd again. And we were excited. We just want to share all the stuff that has happened. But Jesus is just moved with compassion. And I could just see the sun go down and Jesus teaching and on fire. And the disciples looking at their watches or their like sun dial thing, you know. I could just picture myself that and how they're looking like, man, Jesus, come on. You know, it's getting late. It's getting late. Why don't you send them away? And, you know, there's the crowds are, you know, they're going to be there tomorrow. And then Jesus says something and you know, later on, he says, and let me share this first. In verse 51, he says that their hearts were hardened. It's important to notice their hearts were hardened. Well, sometimes you think like, how can their hearts be hardened? These are the apostles. They just went out and healed people. They just cast out demons. They were preaching the word. But Jesus looked beyond that. He looks into the heart. You know, a lot of times we can see the outside and are excited about an outside or a picture from how things look on the outside. You know, this world is really totally all about that, how things look on the outside. The outside has to look good. You know, but Jesus looks right through that into the heart. And he saw these disciples and he saw their hearts are hardened. Their hearts are hardened. Their heart. And they need to learn about compassion. So when the disciples say in 35, you know, it's a remote place, you know, send the people away, it's late, you know, send the people away so they can get to go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And here it comes. And Jesus answered and looked right back to them and says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat, you know? And right away, in the disciples' mind, this worldly, rational way of thinking come right, like, that's a, you know, that's a stupid commandment to give, to say that how are we going to do that? So right away, rationally, they're looking and see what they're going to say. They say, that would take 8 months of a man's wage. Gee, we don't have the budget to do that. We don't have the time to do that. We have to organize something. We have to send somebody to get the bread. We have to collect the money. And a worldly mindset kicks in and a rational way of trying to solve God's commandment. Does that come home close to home? I'm telling you, when I came from Bible college, I really thought, I came back to the Netherlands. I was on fire in Amsterdam. I wanted to reach the lost, but I really thought, oh, I need a video ministry and I need a sound equipment. I need a good band. I need a building. I need all of this stuff. And then, you know, then we're gonna have an awesome, awesome place, and we can see people saved, and we're going to see great things happen. But it doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus, he gives a commandment, he gives a mandate, and not so that we can show off and that we can use our worldly way of getting things in order, but he gives a commandment to teach us something. He gives us an impossible commandment, and we all know all what it is. What is that? Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to reach all the people, to make disciples, to go into all the world, to reach the people and to make them disciples of Jesus Christ. And you know, when you look at the crowd, I don't know how it is with you, but when I walk through Amsterdam or city, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, how are we ever going to meet the needs of these people? How are we ever going to reach them? How are we ever going to give them bread? How are we ever going to give them how are we ever going to change these people? And sometimes you can get frustrated with that, you know, or you can get really down when you look at this great city and you see all the people outside and they need Jesus and you can see it, but you can get almost this frustration. It's like, how are we ever going to do that? And you try to come up with some kind of ways, but it only leads to frustration because that's not what that mandate is all about. That's not what Jesus wants. But he says, you give them something to eat. And you know, that is such an important lesson here, because he wants to teach us something amazing here. And then the next question, when Jesus asks the question, it's an important thing. And he says, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? He is asking not what you think you need. He's asking, what do you have? What do you have this morning? What do you have this morning? And they come up with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish, and they're like, this is all we've got. This is barely enough for the apostles and Jesus to eat. Maybe we could eat that, but it's definitely not enough for the 5,000 men and probably about 10 or 15,000 people that were gathered there. A huge crowd. And Jesus just says, what do you have? He's not interested in what you don't have. You know, in the Teen Challenge program, we teach people something that, you know, the serenity prayer. Lord, grant us the serenity or the peace, the calm to accept the things we cannot change and to change the things, the courage to change the things we can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a principle that, but it's so human to always focus on things that we cannot change. You know, we always focus on things that we focus on yesterday, we focus on tomorrow, we focus on the worries in our lives, we focus on the things that that keep us busy and that things we cannot change. And Jesus says, just give me what you have. Just give me the little bit what you have. Even if you think my talents or my time or my money is not much, but he just says, give me what you have. Give me what you have. And then something amazing happens. Something incredible, a principle here happens. I believe that God is teaching his disciples through bread. Let's look at that, what's happening. Then Jesus, in verse 39, directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Imagine this, you know, this it's like, you know, just this huge, huge, massive crowds. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. I believe in these two sentences, there's a principle or there's principles here to apply to our lives today for us. The first thing is, whenever Jesus gets a hold of bread, what does he do? The first thing he does, he gives thanks or he blesses it. And that's the first part, when he takes the bread. And the first point or whatever, I'm not really a point kind of guy, but the first point that I would want to give you is, the question is like, has Jesus taken a hold of your life yet? Are you willing to give him what you have, however much or little that is? Are you willing to give him your bread? Has he taken a hold of your life this morning already? Have you surrendered your all to him already? And maybe you have, and it's easy to sometimes take back certain things in your life and to reclaim some of those things. But we see when Jesus gets a hold of a bread, when Jesus gets a hold of a life, he blesses it. Amen? I'm sure when I take the time around here and when I talk to many of you guys, you have experienced the blessing of God when you surrendered your life to him. It sometimes is the most scary thing to do, to surrender your life. But once you did, the blessing comes. He blesses you. Isn't that incredible? Is this true, or am I just amen? Or can I get an amen for that? Yeah, amen. Okay. Hallelujah. He blesses. He blesses what he gets a hold of. Amen. But that's not all. You know, and yes, we have experience. But the next thing, so he takes, he blesses. But the next thing, that's where a lot of people kind of like they step back and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus here. Wait, I like the taking, I like the blessing. But then he breaks the bread. And you know what? We're going to learn, even in this story, that Jesus deliberately sometimes sends his disciples into difficult situations. He leads people and he sends people into difficult situations. You know, and a lot of times we think, oh, Lord, deliver us from all these troubles or deliver us from some people in our lives. You know, or some of those, you know, I love the church, but the people in the church, my goodness, you know. I love singing, but, oh, you know, dealing with all these people. But, you know, Jesus, he sends his disciples deliberately, on purpose, through wilderness times, through storms. We're going to read right after this. He sends his disciples right into a storm, fully knowing they're going to be in a dangerous situation. Fully aware that they're going to be afraid. Fully aware that their lives are being shaken and that their life is being broken and that their flesh is being broken and torn. That next part is very, very important. And you know, Jesus never asked something of his followers that he doesn't do himself. Remember, a couple of chapters later, when he sits down with the Last Supper, what does he do? He takes the bread and he says, this is my body. He blesses it. He gives thanks, he blesses it, he breaks it. And that's the last part, he gives it to his disciples. You know, we are not saved just to get to heaven. That's great. But he saves so that we can be a channel to bless other people, to save other people, to get other people into the kingdom of God. And you know, it's great to be that, but you know, this world is also is so self-centered. It's all about me, 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 me. But what happens is people don't get happier when they're self-centered. Look at the world. People are not happy if they accumulate more wealth, if it's all about them. They don't get happier. What the thing is, if you live for God, if you're willing to have him take your life, have him bless your life, have him break things in your life, have him shape it. And the picture of the molder and the baker of the, the potter, thank you. The potter and the clay, and he shapes your life. But not only so that you'll have a great life, but to be a blessing for other people. Amen? So my question for you this morning is, has God taken a hold of your life this morning yet? And these days, have you experienced the blessing of God's presence in your life? Have you been broken before the Lord yet? And are you willing to share your life with other people? To love other people? And I really strongly believe this is a message for this church today. I'm amazed what God is doing here amongst your midst. I'm amazed this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. God is doing something incredible here amongst your midst. He's gathering a body that is so diverse, but it's the hands and the feet and the lungs and the heart and the kidneys, and it's all coming together. And you can choose today, am I going to be a part of this body? And you are important. You are essential for this body to function. If you don't take your place in this body, the body will be handicapped to a certain degree. And God is calling you to rise up and say, I'm going to take that place. I'm going to be part of this. And I don't know where you are. And I mentioned already that, you know, that after this, and I'm just going to read that really quick. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him. While he dismissed the crowd and leaving them, he went up to the mountainside. And when evening came, there was a big storm. And I'm just going to paraphrase from here. And Jesus sends him right into the storm. And later we learn, because they haven't learned anything yet. You know, you see it all through the Bible. The way people learn is by being shaped and being molded also in difficult times. And you know, we sometimes want to have success or quick results. But Jesus sends us sometimes in difficult situations. He determines the success. He determines what an incredible failure in the eyes of the world would that be, the Messiah coming to earth and dying on the cross. But he did that to save humanity. And this morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're in trouble and you think, why, Lord, I gave my life to you and I've been blessed by you. But now I'm being broken and I'm in difficult times. You know, Jesus revealed himself in the storm to the disciples. He came walking up to them on the water, and he revealed himself to them. And first they were afraid because they didn't see Jesus in the situation, but he revealed himself in the storm. And the question also for you this morning is, are you willing to see Jesus in your storm? Are you willing to see the revelation of Jesus in the difficult time that you're facing right now? And I'm going to close with, I think we're ready for that video. I'm going to close with this story and the video that I'm going to show. And I think it's good that it's at the end, because I believe it will speak to you. Because there's no hopeless situations in God's kingdom. There's no hopeless situations. And I want to want you to see this video. And you can play it.
Drug prevention strategies like after-school programs aimed towards at-risk youth are as much a part of the Teen Challenge ministry as rehabilitation.
What you're experiencing is hope. because so many of the kids who live in our neighborhood don't have a lot of hope.
In this square mile radius, we have around 80, 90 gangs.
The kids see the helicopters at night. They hear the gunshots.
And most of these kids adapt in a way where they have to become cold-hearted themselves.
And I don't want to go to another funeral. I don't want to see another kid suffer that kind of fate.
Teen Challenge, this is where we show the compassion. Most of these kids, they don't never hear, "I love you," until they come here.
And so this is a safe haven. It has a table that they can actually work on to do homework and actually plan and dream about a future.
We help them with their homework, but we also bond with them. We let them know where we grew up and that they can do it too if we're doing it as well.
But more important than the curriculum or classes, programs or training is the foundation of every Teen Challenge program in the world.
The Jesus factor is the change factor of Teen Challenge.
You know, without the intervention of Christ, there's no hope for these people. They're going to end up dead.
We can give them the food. We can put the clothes on their back. We can give them a haircut. But that only goes so far.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure for people's life-controlling issues.
I'm asking Jackie Stradoff to come. Jackie, God bless you, dear.
Good morning, church.
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was the oldest of six children.
We raised her like all the other children. She just went a different route.
I got off track in life, as maybe many of you have.
Taking pills, getting high, having sex in the backseat of cars and all that kind of thing. And I was dating the captain of the football team, and he was a senior, and then a cheerleader by the name of Lois, a blonde cheerleader, kind of moved in. And he dumped me for her. And the rejection felt really profound. That was the first time that I tried to kill myself. The next guy that I hooked up with was also older.
One day they called and just said that they got married.
And when I was 6 months pregnant, he had beaten me so badly, went in the hospital, and I had been carrying twins and they were born dead, and I was left sterile.
I didn't know about it. I didn't even know she was pregnant.
That summer was the summer that that I found heroin. I mean, you just spiral down so fast.
Began to have to, you know, go out on the streets and commit all kinds of crime just to continually get the money to feed my habit.
I had five other children at home, and I mean, I did not have time to be dealing and going to court in and out and putting up bond money and stuff. I mean, it was just one thing after another.
There was a man that I was living with that was a drug dealer at the time, and
one night we went out, and when we came back, Michael was passed out in the bathtub.
And so we just pulled him over onto the bed and just kept shooting drugs through the night and didn't pay any attention to it.
In the morning, I woke up because I was freezing cold, and realized I was freezing cold because he was freezing cold.
I can't call anybody or do anything because they'll come and they'll take all our drugs.
And at the time, Larry's working construction at this apartment site.
They took the body and wrapped it in a carpet.
And took him down the stairs and put him in the back of the truck.
And carried it out to the job site where he worked. And he worked the backhoe and he dug down about 10 or 15 feet.
And we went and buried him. And we swore that we'd never speak about it again. Things got really bad for me mentally after that. That's when my little brother came over to check on me. And I asked him if he wanted to try some. And so I shot him up. And he immediately started convulsing in my arms. Kept screaming for him to breathe. He wouldn't breathe. And then I just looked up to the sky and started screaming for God to help me. He was 19 the day that of my brother's funeral. My father came with his friend Frank, and he said, "God sent me here to tell you that if you'll turn your life over to him, that he'll change you and he'll raise you up and use you to touch other people's lives. The book was given to me that Frank was talking about. And there was a number on the back of the book. And I went to the phone booth and I made a collect call to that number.
And they sent a ticket and they brought me in this program. And I went in this program. I was high. They just put me to bed. The next day I woke up and I wanted to sneak away. And she says, listen, she said, if you'll let us pray for you, she said, I'll drive you back to town and put you on the bus and you can go back to D.C. I said, bet, I can do anything for 24 hours, right?
And they started praying. And I mean, almost immediately,
I could feel fire starting off in my belly right here. And it just raced through my whole body.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
Everybody was saying to me, God touched you. God touched you. This is Jesus. He's touching you.
I didn't know anything theologically, but I knew when I got up off that floor that I would never, ever, ever be the same again. Ever. And I never was. And then all I wanted to know was, tell me more about Jesus.
In my filth, he loved me. He loved me. Not when I got clean, but while I was still dirty.
When I finished the program, I wanted more, and I started hearing that David Wilkerson was going to start a Bible school for Teen Challenge graduates.
And she was chosen to go to David Wilkerson's program because they took the best students there, and that's where she met her husband.
I found out on my first anniversary I was pregnant with my son. Yes. And 6 years later, he gave me another gift and gave me a daughter.
Her kids have just turned out great, you know, and I just can't get enough of her now. I mean, we just talk all the time.
And I never once dreamt that Jacqueline would end up becoming a minister herself.
So what the world said was not possible, God said, just watch me.
Drug prevention.
You know, it's sometimes when we're involved in evangelism, we really believe that God can change any person's life, right? And we have hope for people that are drug addicts, and we believe people can change lives. But once we give our lives to the Lord, you know, sometimes we forget that that grace of God is new every morning, even for us. You know, and that river of his love doesn't stop once we, you know, it's not like, okay, you had your chance and now you have to be perfect. You know what? It's his grace never fails. It's new every morning. And this morning when you, you know, it's so easy when you go through the storm to rely on yourself and to be you know, looking in your own ways and don't understand things and just to rely on yourself. And I really pray this morning that God will reveal himself in your storm. And maybe you're here and you haven't given your life to the Lord yet. Maybe you have and you're experiencing the blessing, or you need to experience his blessing. You have a need in your life. Or maybe you're at a place where God is saying, okay, I need to break some things in your life. Or maybe you're at the place where you went through all these seasons and it's now time to give out. Wherever you are, I just want to ask that you would just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we just want to respond to your word this morning. Father, we just want to come into your presence. And Father, we want to thank you for the changing power of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the blood of Christ that covers us, that has taken us from an old life into a new life. And Father, I pray that nobody would leave here without knowing that power is for them as well. And Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts right now in Jesus' name, and they would not go away without having talked to somebody and prayed with somebody. Father, but I also pray for those precious saints and the people that have given their life to Jesus. And Father, that are struggling and that need to hear from you, Father, that need a blessing in their lives. And I pray, Father, breakthrough in their lives. Father, breakthrough in their needs right now, Jesus. And Father, I do pray for those people who you're sending, Father, in the storm, in the midst of difficult times. Father, I pray that you would show your presence with them right now. Reveal yourself in the storm and say, fear not, I am right here. You're right there where I want you to be. I'm doing this to test you. I'm doing this to shape you. I'm doing this to form your character. I love you. I haven't forsaken you. And my grace is sufficient for you. Father, I pray that, Lord, for the people that have gone and have been seasoned and have been through trials and things, and even for all of us, Father, that we would share our lives with people that are broken, Lord God, out there. Father, that we would share our lives with people out here, and that this church would grow, that this body would stand up and reach out to people in this place, and that this place would never be the same, Father. Father, I want to thank you, Father. I pray that you bless the leadership, the workers, but I pray that this would be not only just a podium thing, but a body thing, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's do it this way. Let's all stand, maybe. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and touch you, I just want to give you some moments to respond. And just in your own words, and Matt, if you could just lead us into something, and then in your own words, just express, like, God, here am I. This is the situation I'm in. And then we're going to close real soon. And then if you need to talk, if you need prayer, we're not going to drag this out. We're just going to close off. But after the service, then come to me or to Kent or to Steve or any of the other staff and people. Don't leave here without prayer, that somebody prays for you if you feel that there's something that you need prayer for. Okay, let's worship one more time. And hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift him up in your own words and just surrender yourself to him. Father, here we are, Father. Father, sometimes it's so easy to be hard in our hearts, Father. It's so easy just to walk by all the needs and just to care about ourselves. But Father, we just want to turn to you. Soften our hearts, Father, right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.